of prayer as we go into this part of the service. Father, we thank you so much that because of the cross, it is well with all of us who believe in you. That no matter what happens in this world, no matter what tragedies occur, no matter what the weather is like, you are there. And we have a place prepared for us. And Lord, should you call us home at any point in time, we have that place. It's so much more than we could ever imagine. So much more than we could even describe. John tried to, best he could in Revelation, and he tried to describe heaven and the glories of it. But I just have a feeling that it pales in comparison to being there. And so, Lord, we pray that as we look into your word and as we discover these things that you have for us, that we know without a shadow of a doubt that we are one of your children. And I pray that we will listen intently and that your Spirit would move in our hearts. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, this week was one of those weeks of reflection. And I started to think, what is our existence? What's the reason for our existence? Why are we here? You know, evolution, it says that we evolve. And through millions of years, if you go back to the other one, I want to show that one. Evolution says this, that millions and millions of years, the strongest survive, and we're learning how to live, and we become more advanced and better, and eventually we'll probably get to robots. And they've been talking about that, not joking. They're talking about being able to insert a human brain into a robotic entity. And thereby, we're going to live forever, right? Yahoo! You know, they got it all wrong. You know, what is the reality? What's really happening in this world? And if so, you know, again, next slide then. What is it that we're here for? Why are we here? Why do we exist? You know, and what is our purpose? What possible purpose could we have here in this world? I mean, if it's the strong survive, why am I surviving? For what purpose? For what good? What does my survival do? Is it to serve mankind? Why? Why should I serve mankind? Why should I serve you? Why should I be kind? Why should I be generous? Why should I care? Is it to gain knowledge? You know, Stephen Hawking, he just passed away. Spent his entire life searching and looking for explanations of black holes and dark matter. Why? For what purpose? So that mankind could have a better existence? But why? What for? To live forever? Why would I want to live forever? Is world getting better as evolution proposes? I don't see it. I'm sure you don't see it either. I mean, with the world's condition, the way it's going, it just gets worse. There was a song back in my day, back in our day, says, "What the world needs now is love, sweet love." Remember that song, some of the older ones? You know, but who defines what love is? Who says that love is this way or that way? You know, Hollywood, they define it a certain way, and we're all looking at Hollywood thinking, really? You know, love is something that is defined by God. You know, how do we come up with love if it evolves over millions of years from a clump of cells? We call ourselves man. Oh, I better not say mankind anymore. Sorry, we have to say personkind, right? and or humans. Oh, we can't say humans anymore because it has the word man in it. What is wrong with us? What's happening? What are we thinking? You know, there is really no love outside of God. I like the little cartoon, I think it's Peanuts there. What is love, Chuck? Without God, without Jesus, we have no idea what love is. The Scripture tells us that this is love, that He gave His life for us, that one would give their life for someone else. Isn't that amazing? It's a sacrifice. Sacrificial. The very essence of love is God. Because in 1 John it says, God is love. The Bible says He created us in His image. And so therefore, if God is love, we also have love. That's how we get it. Now, we know what love is, but we have tried to redefine it constantly through our history. Mankind always wants to define love the way they want it. They want it to be something that makes them feel good, to make us feel good. But Scripture tells us exactly what love is. It's a sacrificial thing. It's an unconditional love. It's not a love where I, you know, well, if you do this and this and this, I'll love you. But if you do this and this and this, I will not love you. It's very interesting that Jesus came to share that love. And the ones that nailed Him to the cross, He said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. That's crazy. Genesis 1:1 tells us, in the beginning, God. And so, evolution really is thrown out the window because God is who really started everything. The world is faced with the fact then, if you know, since we know God really does exist. You know, we can look outside, of course, when things are a little nicer. We look at creation and we see there's no way that it could just evolve. Sometimes I use the illustration with young people and I you know, nobody wears watches anymore, but you know, I could take this recorder here and I could take it all apart. Take the screws out, take it all apart, put it in a bag, and then shake the bag. And as I'm shaking the bag, how long will it take before this recorder comes back into place exactly the way it was? It gets put into its shape again, and all the screws go back into place, and it's workable again because I shook the bag for what? Millions of years? 2 million? How about 1 billion? Shaking the bag. How long? You see, that's the insanity. Another man put it this way. He says, you know, how about this book, the Bible, falling down from heaven, all the pages falling down, all the words falling down from heaven, from the sky, and they fall into perfect place where you can read it and the pages are all in order and everything else. And we say, that's ridiculous. Absolutely, it is. So we're faced with this fact, then, since God exists, since Jesus exists, since He went to the cross and died for us, we're faced with this. There is a God. I am accountable to Him. I am accountable to Him. I may not like it. You know, and that's what most people don't like. They don't like the fact that I'm accountable to a higher being, a God who will judge me. I don't like that. But that's the facts. There is a God. I am accountable to Him. And my purpose then is to follow Him. Remember the scripture we had up on the screen was that we're to carry, pick up our cross and follow Him. You see, Adam and Eve, they sinned. And because they sinned, sin entered the world. God gave us salvation through Jesus Christ. We know the scripture, John 3:16. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. So our purpose is to share that message with all those who don't know. Seems pretty simple, doesn't it? We fight and we fight and we fight and we go through our lives and we struggle and struggle because we want to live our lives the way we want to live our lives. I want to go to college. I want to marry so-and-so. I want to, you know, have a house. I want to have the white picket fence. I want to have a dog. I want to have a cat. I want. We do all this stuff. And it doesn't mean you can't have those things, but the thing is that our purpose is not for those things. Our purpose is to follow God, to follow Christ. Now, we have a house. It's a comfortable house. It's not all finished. I'll get to it. But it's nice. It's warm. Keeps us out of the snow and the rain and all those things. We've got a dog. We've got a cat. I don't like it so much, but we got it. But that should not stop us from sharing the gospel with someone who needs to hear. That should not stop us from serving God wherever He wants us to go. If he were to come to say, you know, it's time for you guys to go over the mission field, over the so-and-so, or wherever, is that going to stop us from doing that? Our purpose, then, and why we're here, is to share with others the gospel, to share with others the things that will bring them to a place where they can be in heaven too. You know, it's interesting to me that on Facebook, you know, that's been in the news lately. We actually deleted our account finally because it's just getting too intrusive. But Facebook is to spread the word about the dangers of microwave, e-cigarettes, political issues, who's out there that's criminal, and et cetera, et cetera. Well, you know, why not share the gospel? Why not share some things that will bring a person to know Jesus Christ and have heaven as their home? Billy Graham said this. He said, "I am convinced the greatest act of love we can ever perform for people is to tell them about God's love for them in Christ." That's the greatest act of love. It's sacrificial for sure because, you know, we don't always like to do it. We don't, you know, oh man, I don't have time. You know, when Larry was talking about the kids that came by and they were watching us and helped singing with us and everything, and we got to that the one point at the cross and I was talking about, you know, Jesus, who He is and everything, and one of the boys said, "I believe that." That was cool. You know, then Kathy, she told the rest of them the gospel. Shared the gospel. Why not? There they are. They're listening. They want to know. So she shared. She said, you know, go home and pray and ask the Lord Jesus into your heart tonight. You know, Jesus came to tell us about heaven, about hell. He told us about God's love and how He was going to die in our place. He did that, and on the cross, He paid for all the sins of the world. Past, present, and future. Now just imagine all those sins laid upon Him. He, being God in the flesh, felt that. Could you imagine? All the agony of being whipped and beaten and the crown of thorns put on His head and Him nailed to that cross, I don't believe that was the real pain. Oh, it hurt. But I believe the real pain was when all the sin of the world, past, present, and future, all the murders, all the horrific sins of this world, the hatred and everything was laid on Him as He died on that cross. Remember when He said, "Father, why have you forsaken me?" Because God, the Father, you know, we got Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They're a Trinity. But they make one God. Okay? And we won't go into all the details on that. But it's a Trinity. That's why they call it a Trinity. And it's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And it's a Trinity of beings. But they make one God. So they're unified together in such a way that it's nearly impossible to separate them except for that one moment. On that cross, Jesus had to be separated from the Godhead. Something he'd always been connected with. Always in the Father and the Spirit. But for that one moment, he had to split apart so that he could take the sin of the world upon himself. You know, 2 Peter, I want us to go there. I don't want us to not be able to turn to some scriptures. So I want us to go to 2 Peter 18:55 in your pew Bible. 18:55 in your pew Bible. And 2 Peter chapter 3. And if you look at verse 7. It says, by the same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. You see, this world has got a time limit on it. It's counting down. And if you read farther, you see, because the day of the Lord is like a thief in the night, or a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar, and the elements destroyed in fire, and the earth and everything will be laid bare. You see, this world is headed for that, for ultimate destruction, because it's full of sin. Now, there were scientists that talked about it, Kathy and I were talking about it, that our sun is not going to last forever. The scientists have already gauged, you know, as best they can, the time limit. And they say 1,000, maybe 2,000 years. Okay, well, that sounds like a lot for us. And, well, I don't have to worry about it because I'm not going to be alive by then. Well, that's another point that we should bring up. Death is coming. But that sun is not going to last forever. Our resources in this world will not last forever. We continue to ravage this earth and we ravage all kinds of other things, and then we expect to be able to live forever in this world? It's not going to happen. Because eventually, this world and everything in it will perish. But God doesn't want any one of you to perish. Meaning, find yourselves in hell. He doesn't want that. He did everything possible to make that not happen. He sent Jesus. Jesus died on the cross. He paid for the sins of the whole world. And all we have to do is accept it. Receive Him as our Savior. He is wanting you to come to Him to receive salvation from Him. He died for you. You do have a purpose in life, and there is a heaven and there is a hell, and no one needs to be there. No one needs to go to hell. God loves you. He wants you in heaven. Jesus is preparing a place for you. And all you have to do is accept it. Isn't that just crazy amazing? One more scripture I want us to go to, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 1758 in the Pew Bible, 1758. 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And we'll start in verse 18. Okay, if I can get to it. All right, 18. Now, he's talking about the world that we're in. and that we're new creations in Him. And He says, all of this is from God, who reconciled us to Himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to Himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And He has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making His appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made Him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. See, it tells us right away what our purpose is here in this world. Yes, you got to have a job. Yes, you got to pay the bills. Yes, you get married and you have kids and you have responsibilities. That's true. But your ministry is reconciliation. God is making His appeal through us to this world. Jesus was one person when He was here in this world. When He went to go and be in heaven, He sent us the Holy Spirit to indwell all of us. Those of us who have come to Christ as our Savior, we have now a ministry. We have a purpose. We have a goal in life. And that is to share with others the gospel. Our lives mean something. They are extremely important, of eternal value, because He wants none to perish. His appeal is being made through us. Will you take on that ministry of reconciliation? I'd like us to have just a word of prayer for a bit, and then we will close with this, our final song. Father, as we think about, meditate on, consider the things You have shared with us this morning, that we do have a purpose, that we are here for a reason. It's not just to live our lives and then we die and there's nothing. We can see by the world that there is something. We see and know inside You exist. Lord, I pray that there's not one here that has not received that gift of eternal life. And Lord, if there's somebody here that has not, I pray that they would just pray that simple prayer. Just pray, Lord Jesus, I am a sinner and I need You. Come into my life. Thank You for Your forgiveness. Thank You for the Spirit that You give us. And Lord, I will take on that ministry of reconciliation. I want others to know about You. I want others to know who You are, and that they too can be reconciled unto You. We pray now, Lord, that You would make this service a service to just reflect on for the rest of this day and the rest of our lives. Lord, that we may never forget our real purpose here in this world, even among all the tugs and pulls of this life, we have a real purpose, an eternal purpose. We ask now Your blessings as we close this service today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, the last song that we have on our list is Glory to His Name. It's up on the screen, and I believe I have three verses, the first, second, and last verses of Down at the, or Glory to His Name. Yeah.
The first line is Down at the...
Yeah.
Down at the cross where my Savior died, down for the cleansing from sin I cried, there to my heart was the blood applied. Glory.